One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey everyone, I thought I'd better jump in at the start of this one because, as a way of explanation, this was supposed to be a weird news episode. And as you're going to hear, that didn't happen. We hadn't spoke to each other for a little while, so it's a lot of, and I didn't have much time to edit as well, so it's a lot of chit-chat. And then at the halfway point, roughly, it all goes completely off the rails. It's an episode of two halves. There's tonal whiplash. It's half nonsense, half almost a discussion episode, which I then had to sort of skip through and prune some of the more volatile stuff because we didn't want to get too serious and political on the last episode of this year, even though at some places maybe it does get a bit like that. Just giving you a pre-warning. I don't know if there's been an episode quite like this, and hopefully there won't be another one like this in the future, but this is what you got. So try and enjoy, and we still love you.
Who's doing the intro?
Not me.
I think it's your turn, Bob.
Yeah, but me and Bixi just said Bixi, not us.
Bixi, 1 million.
No, I don't mind.
That's the official rules.
Double Bagsy.
Bobby's frozen.
It is cold.
No, not that kind of frozen-y donut.
I'm back. My thing disconnected briefly. Oh, are you making a joke about me being frozen?
There's the tooth cackle.
Yeah, I know. I just picked up on where that joke went. My internet's a bit iffy, so if I cut out, just carry on and I'll be back. What just happened there?
Cool.
That's rubbish.
Fuck, what was the... Oh, that was it, Time Traveller. Sorry, I'm just trying to find I'm trying to find my stories that I had.
He's actually got stories.
Is that the Time Traveller with the earpods?
With the earpods, yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen that. Okay.
It's so tenuous. It's fucking tenuous as fuck.
I love that you guys both had this story. And even then you're like, yeah, shit.
It's because it's on. I posted it on Signal, didn't I? About a month or two ago. I was like, this has to be on Weird News.
Oh, I forgot. You know, I was looking. I knew I'd saved some stories, and I forgot. That's the one place I forgot to check on Signal.
To check on where?
Because I check on Signal because. Every now and then we post something in and say like, oh, next time we do Weird News. And that's the one place I didn't check, so I'm glad someone did.
I'm just checking that mine's actually good. Like, as in good, like weird news good, you know what I mean?
Well, shit then.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So we're going to be a little... I was just saying, let's just go for it and... If we're a bit more chitty-chatty than usual, it doesn't really fucking matter because it's weird news.
Yeah.
It's like the end of the year. We're squeaking one in before Christmas.
Yeah.
And we also haven't spoke to each other for like fucking well over what, like 6 weeks,
six
7 weeks.
Weeks.
So we're going to be chatting. Yeah, we're going to be chatting bollocks anyway. So that's why I was like, just start the show and the listeners will just have to deal with it being a load of fucking bollocks.
Yeah.
So are you guys getting loads of glare on my... You are, aren't you?
No.
Mm. You get. I've
only this one little line.
Yeah, I think it's just because I'm sat directly underneath.
Right.
I'll tell you
it's
what.
All right.
This is what I can do. because we've got smart bulbs, you see.
I'm going to put the heating on 2 seconds. The radiator's cold, so I'm going to just quickly notch the heating on so it's not too cold in there.
It's fucking freezing in the spare room. It's the first time I've come in here today and I didn't realise how cold it was in it.
Have you put the heater off on in there because it's not used?
But there's no heater in this room.
Oh, really?
This is like the one room where there's no heater in it.
I turned the radiator off in this room because we don't come in here, but now the heating's gone off. So this radiator is still cold.
You know what? I actually think there is a heater in here, but I've never turned it on. It's behind all my fucking boxes of shit. Because we only use this room for studying.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally. Right, I'm going to quickly notch it up.
I'm guessing that the booking for the weekend was a success because Hayley didn't message back. Because she said it was only pending last night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I basically just said try anywhere because it is like the Sunday before Christmas and there's going to be like 10 people for lunch on a Sunday before Christmas is kind of hard.
What's this?
A tall order. So we're going on the pub on Sunday because I'm going to be down and Jibs is in the country and yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so you'll be missed, mate.
What Sunday is this?
Sunday coming.
This coming Sunday?
Yeah.
What?
Any given Sunday.
I did say to you a while back and you said I'm not around at all over Christmas.
I'm definitely not around. But I'm trying to think where I actually am. Oh, fuck, no. I've got 3 raves on the bounce for the next 3 days.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah.
It does. It sounds awful.
I'd be well up for a drive down to Milton Keynes, but I know that I'll be fucking so tired.
I cannot think of anything worse than going to a rave.
I can't think of anything worse. Well, I can actually, Beef. I can think of something worse than going to a rave. 3 raves on the bounce.
On the bounce.
I've got a tourney in sound tomorrow, then I've got to go to work, then I've got potentially going to my mate's night at Black Swan on the Friday, and then all day Saturday I've got Sheila's birthday, which is basically a day rave, and then in the evening I've got Steep Medi, which is Sinai Sound System at Trinity, so...
Did you just say Schindler's birthday?
Sheila's, my mate Sheila.
Sorry, I thought you said Schindler, Oscar Schindler's birthday.
I'm on Sheila's list for the birthday.
And that is some of the comedy gold that people tune in for.
See, I'm glad we were recording before the intro because I can pull all this in.
Do people actually tune in then still?
I presume so.
I hope so.
I guess we wouldn't know, would we?
Well, I could look at the figures. I just never do.
How do people download now? Is it just on Spotify?
Well, it all still has to come from the source at Acast. So whatever they listen to it through, it draws from Acast.
Right, okay.
Because they're the provider. So whatever you listen to it on, it's still drawing from the same source.
Okay.
So if I went into the stats on Acast, it'll still be there. I probably look and it's like 20 listeners that are left and it's like the few people that still contact us.
Yeah, just really dedicated.
It must be...
Every now and then we still get a message from someone like, oh, I've just discovered you, loving the show, working my way through for the first time. Someone messaged that it was like they listened to, you know, 1,000 or 2,000 hours of Weird Tales this year on their Spotify, and I'm just like, I don't think there's that many episodes.
Wow.
How?
Mad.
If we do an hour and a half an episode, then we can't have that many.
They must have listened through the whole thing like 5 times in a year. Terrible. It's disgraceful behaviour.
They must have listened multiple times, yeah.
Well, the fact that we get advertising money in any form must mean we've got listeners.
My Spotify is basically just music for the kids now to listen to in the car. So loads of like Disney audiobooks, Roald Dahl audiobooks.
I'd love to see your Wrapped 2022. I bet it's like...
kids' music. It's like lullabies that we play at bedtime.
Coming in number one, SEO trot.
And then every now... it's all that stuff. And then every now and then you get like, I don't know, Los Campesinos.
One song sneaks in there.
Yeah, it, honestly, it's like, it's tragic.
I went to a gig last week.
Oh, yeah?
I went to a gig with Rick. He turned up in Leeds and went to a gig.
All right, what gig?
And then he drove all the way home. He was like, "I'm going to a gig in Leeds. If you want to come along," and I was like, "Yeah, sure. Like whatever it is, I'll come along. I don't really care. It'd be fun to go out." And it turned out to be like a sea shanties gig.
Really?
What?
And you know what? It was a real fun night.
Sea
if
shanties.
If I came to Leeds for a rave, would you come out?
Oh, I don't know.
I'd fucking love that.
I feel like I... Not because I'm, like, scared. It's because I feel like I'd get bored.
I don't think you would.
Isn't a rave just the same song all night?
Oh, that's ignorant, isn't it?
That is the most boiled down drivel I've ever heard. No, it's not.
Drivel. Drivel.
Yeah.
Do you know, I honestly... What time does a rave start?
11.
At night?
At night.
Sometimes they're 10.
That's when I'm going home.
Yeah.
The headline is like between 1 and 3.
See, I can't stay up late. I can't... Like, half 12 is like... That's a real late night for me.
I could get you some Pro Plus. It'd be fine.
No.
It's not... No.
No!
I don't...
Let's go and have some bougie coffees.
I take tablets to help me sleep. I don't need the...
Well, then there you go. You don't need help sleep.
I just don't
take anything.
You don't
need help staying awake. Yeah, just don't take anything.
Last Friday was our work Christmas do, and we went to Oxford and went out and got a Premier Inn and then went to the Christmas market the next day, which was rubbish, by the way. Oh. Never go to Oxford Christmas market. It was really
disappointing. I don't think I ever have been to Oxford Christmas market.
It's rubbish. It's not worth it.
Oh, you know what I have, but I didn't really pay much attention to the market. I ate loads of roast chestnuts and walked around the art gallery instead.
They did, we ended up at the Bodleian and a load of other stuff. Anyway, so we, but we went out and pretty much all of us had kids sat around the table. Most people had kids. Yeah. And it got to like whatever time and I was like, man, I'm starting to get tired now. Is this, you know, are we winding down? And it was 9:30.
That's it.
And I'm like, oh.
That's it. And I don't even have kids. I think that's just getting old if you're not Tis. The thing is, it doesn't help when it's getting dark at like 3:30 in the afternoon.
No, that's true. That's true. Mate, fair play to you for doing raves. It's just for doing a rave. That's really good. I just couldn't do it.
I'm just well into the music and the culture. I'm well into it. I love socializing and seeing like.
But how can you talk to each other? It's too loud, isn't it?
Well, a rave is like a multifaceted situation. Like, I'll go down there and I'll go to the dance floor and listen to a set. And then maybe I'll go to the smoking area and just chat to some people, have a few drinks, catch up with people. It's kind of like going to the pub.
A big
but
loving.
You get to listen to like really sick, like electronic music. And in Bristol, it's different. It's not, if I was in Milton Keynes, it's a bit different. It's like, a rave is like this one time to have a night out and you all get slaughtered, right? I go to a rave and like have a few beers or ciders and just chat to people and pop in and just like, I don't know, it's like Bristol is the best place in the world probably for electronic music. So you're at the frontier of all
the
electronic.
World.
I'd say in the world, genuinely.
That's a big claim.
No, for like the type of electronic music I listen to.
Sound off, listeners.
No, honestly, name me a better place in the world for electronic
music.
Well,
I don't. Mate, you're asking the wrong person.
Yeah, no, that's it. But so it's like at the forefront of this.
London?
No.
Nah, London's washed up, mate.
London's too touristy. It hasn't got the underground that we've got. I mean, like, this...
It has got the underground, actually.
It's got a very famous one.
This weekend...
That's like, what underground I have been in.
Turney and Sound are playing... They're like an American fucking electronic outfit and they're playing Cozies on a Thursday night. Just like they announced it about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And it's just like at the drop of a hat, some fucking amazing artist.
No one
artist.
Showed up because it was too short notice.
it'll be packed out. It's going to be nuts. But yeah, no, it's not. It's different. It's kind of like going to the pub, really. It's just you have to be up a bit later.
I like the idea of it, to be honest, but I don't think I'd be able to come on my own.
Yeah.
Because you would know the scene and you would get involved in it. I need like another outsider. So if I could like drag Beef along or if Jibs is around and he comes on, I would be not be the only outsider. So then, yeah, like, we can sort of shrug at the crazy situation. Oh, God, look at us. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
And the sound systems are so good. Listening to music maybe on a sound system.
I would go.
When we do the next year, maybe we'll work a rave into it.
I'd love it. I'd love that. Leeds has got quite a good scene for it. So if there's any, if we're doing Leeds.
I mean, we'll be going into London. Yeah, but it's too commercial, isn't it?
I told you, London is not the place to go to a rave. It's not. You've got to come to Bristol.
I would happily go.
Or Supersonic Booty Bangers in Leeds. They always have good nights up there.
I've never heard of that.
Supersonic Booty Bangers.
Never heard of it.
SSBB.
I thought I knew everything in Leeds.
Yeah.
Is that Tiss?
Yeah.
Forgive my ignorance, but is that a band or a place?
Or is it a sex club?
That's a label.
You what?
It's a label.
Oh, it's a label.
Yeah, Supersonic Booty Bangers has got Samurai Breaks. I think he's from Leeds or Sheffield, but they have some good artists play. Yeah, there's a few Leeds ones I've seen where I've been like, oh, I might go to that.
Give me a few people to listen to on Spotify.
If I send you some links...
Yeah, send me some links. I'll just give it a go.
I'll try and send stuff that I think you'd enjoy rather than just, like, the heaviest stuff.
I don't mind it. I don't mind heavy. Like, I still... The music is fine. Like, the music isn't what puts me off. It's the late night that puts me off.
Yeah, yeah.
But if we were doing it just as a one-off, it'd be fine. Like, yeah, that's okay.
Tiss, if you go to a rave on like a Friday night,
yeah,
are you not just fucked for the rest, like not even for the next day, for the next like 2 weeks?
Well, no, I
feel like if I stayed out, what time do they end? Like 4 a.m?
Yeah, but I don't stay out till 4 or 5 anymore. That's when you take drugs, isn't it? If you take Mandy,
you said the headline sets at like 1:30.
Yeah, I'd usually stay out between like until about 3 maybe.
Maybe not.
I'd probably stay out till 2-3 o'clock and go home, get some sleep. So if I get to bed by 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, yeah, wake up at 12. It's like having a lay-in on a weekend.
I can't do that though. I'll wake up at 6:30 no matter what. So that's why it fucks me.
Really?
I can't. And once I can't, like, I'll roll over. I've never been able to lay in bed. If I'm up, I'd like, oh, I might as well get up and do something. I can't roll over or have lay-ins.
See, what I do is because I'm the same a little bit where I've got into that habit of waking up early for work, I just don't go to sleep. I just won't sleep. And then I'll just sleep. I'll sleep on the Saturday or the Sunday and just, I just get over it.
Sleep when I'm dead.
Yeah, I just fucking, I don't know. I don't,
just fucking
it don't bother
up,
me, to be honest. It don't actually bother me.
It would fucking kill me. When you saying like you get into bed for like 3, 3:30, whatever, that was like hurting my stomach hearing you say it. Like, oh, like it was giving me tummy ache.
If I go to an after party though, I might continue through. So after Verispeed, like sometimes I'll go to an after party
to another rave.
And we'll just go back to someone's house and chat shit for a few hours.
Don't you need drugs to do that?
Yeah, I mean, not really. I mean, some people do take drugs, but I tend to have a few ciders and I feel a bit jolly, and then I find my boundaries, really. Just go home a bit earlier if I need to.
I've never done drugs.
Don't get me wrong, I still dip my toes into having drugs every now and then, but...
Can you imagine if we got beef on the drugs for the first time at a rave?
Doing Mandy now, for me... the come downs are too intense. The come downs, it's just a lot because your serotonin levels, as you get older, it gets harder to replenish your serotonin as quick. When you're younger, in your 20s, you can dump that serotonin into your system and then within 3 days you've replenished it. As you get older and you've obviously, and as you've dumped that serotonin a bit more, it takes longer to get it back up. And to be honest, it becomes less, it's not as novel anymore. You know, when you take Mandy for the first few times, it's just like, fucking hell, this is unbelievable. And then when you've done it in every different situation, you're just kind of like, oh, well, I've kind of done it. And then there's no novel situation to be like, oh, this is worth it. This is worth feeling depressed for a day or two. It's just not worth it anymore. But,
Tiss, what's Mandy?
MDMA.
Oh, right.
Design the drug ecstasy. Yeah.
Okay.
Tiz, have you ever seen the film Mandy?
I haven't, no.
With Nick Cage?
No. Does he take Mandy?
It's really fucking trippy. It's nuts.
I might have actually.
You feel like you're on Mandy watching it.
I might have. Fucking, I think
the whole
I was...
thing is like purple hued.
Right. Yeah. I do remember hearing about this.
It's definitely an experience. Like, it's a film that when it was over, I was like, fuck. Like, that was mad.
Yeah.
Like Fury Road or something like that.
Really nuts. I found that the acid trip that Nicolas Cage goes on in the... What is it? That Nicolas Cage...
Oh, Unbearable Weight.
Yeah, Unbearable Weight. That is...
Yeah.
That's closer to acid than I've ever seen depicted in a movie.
Oh, interesting.
That is fucking so acid. It's fucking hilarious. Because
it was funny. It was very funny.
What's it called?
Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent.
Yeah, that's right. It, yeah.
It's Nick Cage and Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, and they take acid at one point, and then they're like acting this thing out, and they're both like freaking out about something.
They're getting like paranoid about like nothing.
Yeah.
It's very funny.
And that is just what acid's like. You do... Not get paranoid, but it gets you into funny situations if you're out in public. And just that film was fucking... It just nailed it. Because I hate when in films, when people take drugs and then this effect happens to them and you're just like, that is not...
Yeah.
That's not that drug.
Well, it's like watching drunk acting as well. It's like you don't act like that. Like, it's very... drunk acting's real hit or miss in films. Like, sometimes when you see people they're trying to act drunk, it's you're not like that when you're drunk.
Yeah,
it's tricky to pull
off.
Same
as weed.
I saw a film the other night that I thought you might like, Tiss.
Oh yeah,
because it was very much it keyed into the reminded me of the synchronicity episode that we did earlier this year, because it was about finding patterns in things and they were searching for patterns in the universe and shit. It's called Something in the Dirt.
Oh, okay.
Came out this year.
Something in the Dirt. I'll have to note that.
I just got
over
the film festival finished a few weeks ago, so I watched shitloads of films recently. I saw a film at the cinema on Monday.
Oh.
But I say the cinema, I saw it in the theatre. I went to York, the York Barbican.
Yeah.
And on a big screen in a theatre with a full orchestra, I watched The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh.
No way.
And it was wonderful.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's the most Christmassy thing I've ever done and will ever do, but it was fantastic.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That's amazing.
I'd love to do something like that. That sounds great.
And I feel like listeners, I must have mentioned Muppet Christmas Carol quite a few times on this pod over the years.
Yeah.
Because this thing's happening to me now, this Christmas, where listeners are messaging me to say they're watching Muppet Christmas Carol and it made them think of me.
I think we've mentioned it at every Christmas since we started.
Yeah, I love it.
Not quite as many times as The Simpsons, but it's got a few mentions.
It's one of my top films of all time. Not just Christmas films, just like on my Letterboxd profile where you have your top four films, it's in there. Like, just this is one of my top four films of all time. Yeah. So, yeah, love it. Good old Muppet Christmas Carol. I think it's Michael Caine's best performance. I think it's fantastic. It makes me... I've seen it a million times and I still get like emotional at it and I'm like, fucking hell, I'm getting like wet-eyed at a fucking frog. It's amazing. I love it.
It's we watched it last year for the first time with Joel. That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
He really liked it. And then we watched Treasure Island.
Oh, that's great as well.
Because obviously everything's on Disney now, isn't it? So it's
Yeah. Well, the version on Disney of Muppet Christmas Carol is edited. It's not the version I grew up with. It's a shortened version.
Oh, is it?
They only put the full-length version up, actually, this year, because it was the 30th anniversary. So the one that's on there now is full-length. But you have to go into the extras setting and select play full-length version.
Really?
That's the version I had on video.
There's
one song that's shorter. They cut one of the songs on the regular version. It's just like to me, it loses a bit of its heft.
I haven't... Yeah, Disney cut loads of weird stuff, particularly on the kids' stuff. They cut things like all the time. But even things that are just silly.
I think with the Muppets one, it was like they'd lost some footage and it was like not up to the same video quality as the rest of the films when they tried to restore it in, but now they've sorted it out and it's all back, the full-length version. But I just find it weird that you have to select that in extras rather than just make that the default now.
It's a bit strange. I don't know what Disney are doing.
Yeah.
What don't Disney own now?
I was going to say me, but I think they might do.
I think they've got us by the straight and curlies, mate.
Yeah. Right. Should we, Steve, do you want to intro the episode?
Yeah, sure, okay.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I can't really be fucked and I haven't really got much time. I'm really not going to edit much of what we've just done.
No.
And I'm not even going to put this intro you record now at the beginning. It's just going to open with that shit.
That's
fine. After half an hour, you're going to introduce the show.
Well, I may as well just do a bad job then. Good evening and hello and welcome and thank you for coming. It's Beef, it's Weird Tales and The Unexplainable. You've been listening to us for half an hour anyway, so you all know that we're okay, but let's just, for the sake of doing it. I'm really close to the camera, aren't I? Sorry about that. This is nothing for listeners, but I've just realised I'm leaning right into the...
You look like a child. You look like the ghost of Christmas present.
So say hello, Bobby.
Hello, Bobby.
And say hello, Tissy.
Hello, Tissy.
And we're all okay, because we've been talking for a while now.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
Yeah.
We've covered a lot of subjects.
We've covered everything.
It's been nice to have a chat because I've been so head in everything for the last few weeks now. It's been nice to have an evening where I'm just talking shit.
Yeah, it's been good. I've enjoyed it so far, and I'm sure it will continue. We've learnt that Tiss is going to take me and Bob to a rave because it's totally not our scene, but we're going to go and do a bit of Mandy. And
yeah. I will have to do a little bit of editing, I just realised, because we talked about we haven't announced yet, so I'll just have to sneak in and cut that bit out.
Oh, that's all right.
Would you actually do Mandy?
No. All right, so... No.
Oh, yeah, no. Go on, for the pod, I'll record you doing it.
Right, let me...
The episode's just called Beef Does Mandy.
Well, let me explain something. I feel like having never touched any kind of drug, this is... I tell you what I would do, because I trust you, Tiss, obviously...
Mm-hmm.
I would be like, right, pop down to the shop, to the drug shop, go down the relatively safe drugs aisle.
What, you're basically going to chew on one of my CBD gummies?
I would want, oh, see, that might be too weak, I don't know. This is the thing, I don't know how I'm going to react. Like,
wait, what are you saying? You want drugs, but you want like an entry level drug?
Yeah, give me gateway stuff. I don't want.
Well, Mandy's pretty fluffy. It's not like that bad.
No,
but Mandy isn't hard drugs.
I don't know.
Just getting some coke.
Mandy's fucking cocaine is way worse.
Just the image. We'll just post that on the Weird Tales Facebook. Beef just like coke all over his fucking mustache.
Mandy's
in a fucking
way better
toilet
than
stool in a rave.
Oh my days! Look, but this is what I mean. I don't know how I'm going to react. It may be I might be totally fine, and I don't know. But I do know I've got a very addictive personality, so I don't know how I'm going to handle it. I suppose.
Well, how about we just get some mushrooms, Beefy?
That sounds dangerous.
I'd say Mandy is the best one. It's not addictive. You're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to fucking bang loads of Mandy now. Just fucking, you just feel elated and you're just like, oh, cool, that was fun, cool. Back to life.
Back to reality.
I would trust, yeah, I don't know, and I don't know if I'd be like, yeah, I'm not sure.
I'm kind of shocked by the way you're talking, Beef.
Beef, you would actually try Mandy.
Maybe it's middle age or something, or not quite middle age, but 35 is fairly middle aged, isn't it?
If you live till 70.
What's middle age? Middle age is... I mean, if
oh,
I
yeah,
live
this
to
is
70,
true. This
I'll
the
be
first
happy.
Time we've recorded since you've been 35.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like if... When I say I'm middle-aged, I'm like, man, that's ridiculous. But actually, if I get to 70, that's not... That's all right.
But the term middle-aged normally means sort of like around 50, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But then that's optimistic. No one lives to 100, really, so...
No one is forever.
I would say, no, okay, so let's say middle-aged. I would say middle-aged is about 45, 40, yeah. 40, 45, so I've got a few years yet. But no, I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to go and score some drugs. That's what you say, isn't it?
Well, you were telling Tiss to get some off his mates a minute ago.
Yeah, but I'm not in Bristol, am I? So it might go out of date by the time I get it.
out of date. Might go off. Yeah.
Well,
It's like it's like sourdough. You have to take it within the first 3 days of picking it up.
I don't want any stale drugs.
Hard.
I don't want any rotten drugs. It. Thank you. No, I mean, what I am saying, in the same way that if I'd never tried ale before, I would happily go to a beer festival with Bobby because I would trust. You know, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He's been around beer a while. You know, I would trust you to hold my hand through my first drugs experience, Tiss, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that you're gonna take care of me and you're not gonna, you know.
Yeah, of course I would.
I don't know.
And I'd film it all.
I wouldn't put you on something that I felt like you couldn't handle.
Yeah, that was heroin.
Yeah, that wouldn't happen.
Can you imagine you give him like fucking a toke of a joint or something and tell him it's heroin?
I mean, yeah.
Like, Tiss, I mean, why are we boiling this liquid on a spoon?
Yeah. I've been a good, like 6 months off weed now.
It's you good. Sticking to it?
I've not even had any inkling to do it ever again. It's absolutely done now.
That's good. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I've just done 35 years off of weed, so...
Yeah, but you didn't do any years on it.
I thought you was about to say I've just done, like, a big fat bifter or something.
You can't boast about being not on something after you've not done it. Oh, I've been 33 years heroin-free, you addicts.
No, I know.
I'm going to go down the rehab clinic and pull that one on the junkies. It's like, fucking...
34 years, mate. It's not that hard, is it?
Have a word, kids.
I got to a point where I didn't actually like the feeling of smoking weed anymore, which was just, it came from nowhere. It was just like one day I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And then the next time I smoked some, I didn't like it again. And then I just don't like it anymore, which is really weird because I used to bloody love it.
I love the feeling, don't get me wrong, but I don't like what it does to me. I don't like not having words or the quickness of wit that I know that I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like being slow. I need to be effective.
Yeah, I don't already have that, so...
I think I've been a bit apathetic over the last few years while I've been smoking weed, and I've done the sort of apathetic thing, and I'm kind of like, right, I need to just move on now. Done, completed it, sort of thing. Done it.
Done it.
So yeah.
Take that one off.
Been there, worn the t-shirt, and I know that I can't regulate it either, so there's no point in like trying to have it in my life in any way, because I know I've done it a few times where I've tried to like, oh, I'll just do it at weekends or I'll just do it on this occasion. It just never works. So just bang, done. Don't need it.
But if you could, you know, you could just smoke a joint if you're wanting to try drugs at a rave.
Me?
Joint is not, nah, fuck that. You'd be antisocial.
Yeah, but he... I just feel like I'd never touching drugs in your life.
I'd say sassafras. Sassafras is a good dip your... Sassafras is a good one to dip your toes into, actually.
What?
Sassafras is...
Sassafras, who's there? Your Sam, ain't you Sam?
Sassafras is a...
fucking dealing it.
Sassafras is the original precursor. Yosemite Sam.
What is that? I've never heard of that. This is some new drug.
No, it's a really old one, actually. It's sassafras. Sassafras was the precursor that they used to make ecstasy from. They used to make it from sassafras root. It's like a...
Oh, like is it, so it's the same sassafras as the root that is used in, like, you know, old-timey medicines and shit.
That's sarsaparilla, but it's probably a similar genus, to be honest.
I think it is. Sassafras, yeah, it was used for something. It could
be. But I've taken that.
Hmm.
I've done that a few times where... Someone I know sells it, and you just take one of these pills that he's made.
Yeah, they used it in root beer, mate. That's what I'm thinking of.
That's sarsaparilla.
Both.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Just looked it up.
Oh, wow.
It is, or at least once was, the main flavorful ingredient in root beer.
Well, that's why I love it so much.
Sassafras and sarsaparilla were traditionally used alongside other substances like licorice root, mint, nutmeg, and more.
Well, it's a very natural thing, and...
I bloody love root beer, so...
You get a similar buzz to Mandy, but it's not as intense.
Do I get as good a buzz as when I have a really good bottle of root beer?
Probably.
Because that's a buzz I'll take out.
Probably. Mandy, you come up really hard, and you chat shit. Whereas sassafras, you can like you feel like you want to chat to people, but you don't feel like you're compelled to like chat.
Tis, I hang on a minute. Sorry, I've just when I was in Mozambique, they had this drink called sarsaparilla,
yeah.
Which was I think that's the same ingredient because it was basically like root beer.
It's similar. Sarsaparilla and sassafras are both from a similar thing. And they were both used to make root beer.
Yeah, they could be. I think it's bark. I think it's the bark of a root, maybe.
One's part of a tree and one's part of a vine.
Mate, I tell you, when I had a root beer in Oxford.
That was lovely.
That was good. I haven't had one for a long time, and I thought if Tis was here, he'd have a root beer.
When I was over in Florida, that's all I was drinking.
Oh, it's so good. American root beer is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So good. It's like Mountain Dew in America is so much better.
Never had it over there.
Tis, you're with me on this. You've had Mountain Dew in America, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
It's just more sugar in it, isn't there?
Yeah, but I like sugar.
It's next level. I think it's, I think it's illegal here. I think the American one's illegal here, isn't it?
I think you're right.
Well, the sugar tax would stop it, wouldn't it?
Sugar tax.
Yeah, big time, yeah. I think it's got something else in it, though.
Because you can't, if you have...
Sassafras.
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 Do you actually want to go to a rave then, Beefy?
I don't know. I think the only way I could go to a rave is if we went on a Friday night and then we'd also... So we had a hotel and then... We also had a hotel for the Saturday night, so that Saturday night I could go to bed at like...
100%.
If I go to bed at like 6 and then just sleep for like over 12 hours and catch up.
I would go, but like I was saying, I would need like you there or like another outsider there. Because on your own, I just feel like, you know, as much as Tis is like, no, I'll look after you. You know as soon as you get
there,
fuck off all these rave people.
Yeah. Exactly. He goes to
just
smoking
be like,
app.
What am I doing here?
Exactly.
And that's what I mean. I would just get bored because I wouldn't be doing drugs. I wouldn't be into the music. I'd just be standing there.
He's, he'd just walk off and we wouldn't see him for hours.
No.
Look at you smiling.
Are we still on sassafras?
No, we're talking about
back
raving.
On raves again.
On what?
Looping back around raves.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'm down. I'm down to facilitate both of you taking drugs.
Well, I wasn't into it. It was Beefy who was getting all drugged up. I want to just go and experience the rave culture.
But you'd definitely take drugs, though. You would.
Thing is, you know what would happen is it would be like when Superhands and Jeremy get Big Sue's to... They do mushrooms.
Yes.
No, I think I'd get the dose absolutely right. I think I'd fucking nail it. I think I'd sort you guys out proper.
But what about if we liked it too much and we became drug addicts and it was your fault?
That's your path. But I don't think that.
Us on it.
Well, you fucking reality isn't about that. It's a. It's about experiencing new things. And if you like something and you follow it, like that's just your passion in life, isn't it? Maybe you've been kept from it your entire life.
Yeah, but I think the people who are out of their mind on heroin think they like it.
This comedically it's a funny point, but it's a moot point in any seriousness because taking Mandy is not a slippery slope to taking drugs. It's very much a passing fancy, like having a beer.
I've never felt comfortable about putting like chemical tablets in my body.
No.
Well, I mean, do you take paracetamol?
No, not really.
You don't take any. You don't get any medications.
Not really. Like what?
I don't know. Like anything.
When I'm ill, I just get on with it. Really.
ever? Have you taken any in the last 10 years? Have you taken any pills?
Oh yeah, I've taken paracetamol, but I'm not someone who takes it very often. Maybe like twice a year, I'll be like, oh, this fucking headache is unbearable.
I forget about paracetamol.
Well, there you go. So once in your lifetime, taking Mandy would be suitable, right? Once in your whole life, just
honestly,
one...
I forget about painkillers.
What do you mean you forget about them? You sit in pain or you forget?
Yeah, basically. So when you sit there
in pain and forget that there's such a thing that can get rid of a headache.
Do you remember when, like, September when I had that cough for like a month?
Right.
Maybe I didn't mention it. So I had this cough.
No, like, I do remember, yeah.
And it was after about 2 weeks of having this cough, I was really breathless. And it was really like, yeah. I was having to lay down all the time because I just couldn't breathe properly. I wasn't sleeping I couldn't sleep unless I was sitting bolt upright. And I was like, and then even then I couldn't sleep because who can sleep like that? And, yeah. It was awful. But I was like, the doctor had said, come back after 3 weeks if it hasn't got better. So I was waiting for 3 weeks. Rachel was like, she's like, no, if it's this bad, you need to go back and ask for antibiotics. Anyway, after about 3 weeks of coping with it, I just felt really rough and had like a fever and was just kind of like plowing through the day. Got to the end of the day and was just like collapsing. I was like, I feel really ill. Rachel said, have you taken any paracetamol? I was like, oh yeah, I know, I haven't had any. She was like, you should have, why haven't you been taking them? Like, that's your body's way of saying, I need help. Like, give me a bit.
It's our body's way of saying, give me a tab.
And it did help a little bit, but... mainly the antibiotics, they really helped.
They will.
No, I do. I do tend to forget. But I get really bad tense shoulders, like I know you do as well, Bobby, and that gives me a big headache sometimes. Anyway.
Medical stuff, good news. My eczema's really getting a lot better.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I might be allergic to a type of soap. I've stopped using it and my hands feel a lot better. So
you're okay. Allergic to so many soaps.
I think I might be linked to the same thing. I forgot all this time I've been working out what I've been allergic to.
Radox.
And then I forgot, like, oh yeah, I can't use like Radox products and stuff. It's just like, oh yeah, and then this hand soap I've been using for fucking the last 2 years, I'm like, I think this is what's been fucking my whole skin up.
Right.
Because I've stopped using it and my hands are clear. But I've also been wearing gloves at work, which obviously help because they're not getting wet, dry. So, yeah. Think things are on the up.
This is not a good time of year for plasterers, is it?
No, it's horrible. It's really horrible.
Like my knuckles are cracked and I do like almost no DIY at all.
My knuckles are actually swelling up this year and that's never happened to me. And I'm like, oh, is this like the start of arthritis or some shit? Because my thumb joint is really cold. Swollen and sore. Yeah. So that's pleasant. Right, who's got a weird news story?
Yeah.
48 minutes into the episode.
Well, I guess I wanted to start a discussion, actually, about something which is kind of current. It's not in the news, but it's very much of the time. Have you guys seen about AI recently?
The film?
No.
No.
No, what about AI recently? Something in particular?
It's just blowing up.
Like AI art and shit?
Well, not just that. Have you been on character.ai before?
No. Oh, hang on. Is this this social media thing that everyone's doing?
The AI art, I've not really taken part in the AI art.
I was going to say, I don't want to get involved in AI. It's too much of a can of worms.
Well, I mean, I don't want to get involved in it, but have you seen what's... forget the can of... The can of worms is open. Okay, the can of worms has been opened. The genie is out of the bottle, and it's here. It's not in the future. It's now. AI is right fucking now, and I'm telling you what, it's fucked, dude. Seriously, you need to go on character.ai, and you need to.
And what am I looking at on here?
Are we doing this now? You need to chat to a bot.
Oh, it's like a bot chat thing.
Trust me, these things. It's like talking to a human.
Right.
It's crazy.
Am I doing this right now whilst we're on the pod now?
If you want to, but... you can if you want. It's something...
Hang on.
Honestly,
this isn't new. This has been around for a long time. They've done this for ages, haven't they?
Yeah, but they were shit. What are you saying is they're good now?
No, this is nuts. This is actually nuts.
So I'm talking to Bowser.
Go and talk to Bowser and try and like...
Yeah, but he's just saying Bowser shit. He's not actually responding to what I'm saying. He says, "Brahaha, bow down before me, King of the Koopas, and get out of my way." I said, "All right, mate." He said, "Brahaha, get ready for our final showdown." Well...
No, but like, chat to try and get meta on him and just be like, "You're an AI impersonating Bowser, though, aren't you?
You are not actually Bowser. You are an AI."
Be nice to him.
I'm not. I've been horrible to Tony Stark.
So he's taken a long time to respond. So I haven't actually heard about this, these bot chats.
This is nuts. This is recent. I don't know how recent this is, actually. My friend Tim was telling me about it. He was having a bit of a, like, bit of a crazy time chatting to one because he got quite meta with one and was having some quite interesting chats with Baz down the pub, I think was the one he was talking to.
I think I've picked the wrong one because this Bowser's just going on about it. He's not responding, really. He just keeps saying stuff like, "How did you get in it? You're trespassing. Get this guy out of here." Like, it's not very...
I've got bored. I'll come off.
Yeah, talk to someone like Plato or Noam Chomsky or, you know, fucking Napoleon Bonaparte.
Minecraft Steve.
No, someone like, someone smart.
English teacher. Tom the English teacher.
Yeah, try Tom the English teacher.
Right, okay. "I am Tom. I am a Native American. You can speak to me about anything. I'll talk to you and at the same time correct your grammatical errors."
Well, I don't want to talk to him. He sounds like a loser.
"You sound a bit arrogant."
Yeah, I was just about to say the same thing.
"Are you sure you're not an AI?"
I was more thinking about these killer robots that they were making in some country that I've already forgotten about. Yeah, I thought that's
Tissy's gone straight off on one. "Yes, I'm quite sure I'm not an AI. What is it about my behaviour that made you think that? I'm very curious about your opinion. Would you mind expressing it more clearly?"
Right, I'm going to talk to Einstein, guys.
The problem I have with this AI stuff is I just feel like in us doing this, it's learning from us all the time.
Yeah, of course
that's
it is.
But that's why I don't do it, because I don't want
to... Yeah, but I need you to know where it's at, because if you don't know where it's at, you don't know that you need to like be active in like activism against it.
Yeah,
it'll just sneak up on you.
But it only sneak up on me. It's not going to sneak up on me in the street. I'm
it
not going to see a fake person.
No, but you will, because the camera will be trained to know who you are. That, trust me, ask it.
Just closed it.
Oh, for God's sake.
Right, I'm talking to Albert Einstein.
You're not, he's dead.
Ask Einstein, say, "What... how does it feel to be AI, and what applications of AI do you think could be potentially damaging to humans in the future?" Ask it a bit of a meta question.
I don't think I'm doing this wrong, because he started, "Hello, I'm Albert Einstein. I was born in March 14th, 1879.
It's just quote Wikipedia, right? Yeah.
"And I conceived the theory of special relativity and general relativity, which had a deep impact in science's understanding of physics." And I put, "I don't understand what that means." And he put, "I mean this, special relativity, the laws of physics are the same in every inertial frame of reference. General relativity, mass and energy curve space-time in a way that causes space and time to become..."
That's
distorted.
That's not breaking it down enough for me.
Right. Correct. So I put, "I still don't understand." So he's put this time, "Think of it this way, special relativity is like a painting. If you look at it from different points of view, you always see the same picture. General relativity is like a kaleidoscope. You see different things when you change the perspective. Do you understand now?" So I'm going to
put... But that's a little bit too simple.
So I'm going to put, "Maybe I'm a moron. I don't understand what you are banging on about."
So Tiss is completely frustrated now because we're not
doing
what
he
wanted us to. No, we're dicking around. We're doing what they want us to do.
No, this is clever. This is exactly This is exactly what... Okay, so the AI is tapping into human emotion, right? Surely AI or bots, they try to replicate emotion to make it seem like you're talking to a person.
More they talk to humans, the more they understand how humans react, so they get better and better and better.
Yeah. So I put, maybe I'm a moron, I don't understand what you're banging on about. And he's put, you're not a moron, my explanation is probably not the best. Think of this, and then it kind of goes on again. So it's right, it's learning. But this again, this is, doesn't it feel too different?
But my problem is, I understand.
You're not asking it serious enough questions, though. You're just pandering to the programming. You've got to really get behind it. Get under its skin.
Okay.
Say things that are going to prod it.
Tiz, I'm playing the game properly now.
Get under its skin.
So tell me, what do I have to say?
But why do you want us to get under its skin, Tiz?
Because you need to understand how it can react to questions that are off the wall. With bots, you could always find a way around the programming and a way to, like, see behind the fourth wall in a way.
Right. This, you're saying they can't be broken.
It's hard to break them, and it's hard to get... They really do backtrack and put across very good points of view, and yeah, they're
but
just...
But are they points of view, or are they just something that someone else said to them in another chat that they use on you?
Well, it's not just that. They're scraping data from all across the internet to use on you. There's a whole load of
but when
stuff
you say
that's
use,
happening.
When you say use on me, What is the point? What is the positive or negative point of this? Because for me, you're like, you need to know, but I'm like, well, do I? Because I find myself spending less and less time online now because of shit like this. I want to exist in a real world.
But the real world is at threat from AI.
Not my world, though.
Trust me, it is. Trust me, it is.
Okay.
If you think that your world isn't affected, then you're missing what this is. This is the beginning of a whole new potential for technologies that can track you, that can scrape your data, that, you know, like at the minute we've got humans and cold algorithms.
But they already scrape my data, don't they?
But why does it having a voice make, why does it make a difference?
No, the character AI is just a token representation of how intelligent AI has gotten.
Yeah,
the application
I know that.
Isn't just character AI. It's the fact that you can have an AI which is intelligent and has extreme machine learning that can scrape data from the internet and use it potentially against you, that can be used to just anything. It's that the application is just unfathomable of where it could go.
Okay, so I timed out because I was talking to Einstein for too long, apparently.
Imagine infinite intelligences that can be distributed across any platform that can spy on you, that can check your data, can be...
Where's it spying on me from?
Well, anyone who wants to spy on you can spy on you. You don't have to hire spies anymore. You just literally artificial intelligence. Boop.
I just presume they're already doing that.
But they are. They couldn't do it in such a way that they can now. This is now. It's becoming to a point where the spyware is hyper intelligent and adaptable, and it can really interpret things way better. Before, it was just a lot of raw data, and they'd have to have someone that goes through that raw data. And they'd have to be looking for specific things. Now they could have a specific AI per person going through things and interpreting it rather than a person having to do it.
To what end?
To what end? Control. Control.
How will they control me?
Well, control of a population anyway, any which way they'd choose.
But our population is already fucking under control.
Yeah.
Not to a degree which it could
most
be.
People. Like, when I say you can't control me, I think everyone thinks that. But I look at most people and I'm like, you're fucking being controlled.
Well, we live in a freer
world.
The
way we can't get off of our phones and off of social media is already we're under control, we're under the spell. So stepping away from that is me saying, nah, I reject this.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. You've already
so
used it.
So how can it control me if I'm not there?
You still use it. Because you use everything you have in your house is connected to the internet. your computer, your movie stuff. What do you watch your movies on?
But, all right, okay. So how does me watching a film on Netflix change anything?
But what are
they
going to
use the fact that I watched a movie? What data are they going to get out of that? Bob watched The Matrix. Go on. That'll twist them AIs, Melon.
Well, no, because you're on those platforms, you could have tailored ads tailored to you.
But they already do that.
There's lots of applications.
We've talked about this before. If Bob watches The Matrix and then Netflix's AI uses that information to suggest other movies that Bob might like, surely that's win-win.
I still don't like that.
Yeah, but there's AI is a tool. It can be used for good and it can be used for bad. All I'm saying is that like governments are trying to use further control methods. I mean, forget your own situation, okay? Think right. about people that are actually in danger, like people that are perceived as illegal immigrants, right. you know, potentially right. in the future, who knows, transgender people, homosexuals again. You know, there are people that are being suppressed in our society. Forget our own situation. We're kind of privileged that we aren't. But those people that are, and if a government chooses that they do want to pick on those people, then they have a lot more agency now because AI can be used and distributed in a way that can weed out these people doing these things.
I would argue,
I can take drugs in this society now, but if the government decides that anyone who has any ties to drugs or any information about them taking drugs in the past gets... you know, instantly loses their job, boom, then we have the power now for an AI to scrape the whole internet of all of my data and decide, right, this person is a drug user, and put that on my record. That can be used against me, or anything you say. It could be used to scrape through all of your recordings, all of anything you've said over the internet,
and find all of weird tales.
Any discrepancy that you've said and be used against you.
But I would argue that even people like Rachel's parents, for example, would acknowledge them. They would all also acknowledge this. So it's not like I'm just saying something horrible. They would acknowledge that they, when it comes to technology, Rachel's mum in particular is particularly naive.
Right.
But even she now is aware of, and I guess probably because me and Jack and Rachel have kind of mentioned it, like, of how these things work, and even those things on Facebook, like, what was your favourite film when you're growing up? Or like, what was the name of your first pet? And you know, you get all these people that reply, and you know, it's clearly
it has to interact.
It's someone trying to get your password or whatever. I would argue that people have been aware of this for a long time. So for example, like when you talk about the news, for example, is obviously a big tool for controlling people. They used it. It was majorly.
It always has been.
Of course, it has. But actually, now I would say more than ever, it's become. But to the point where, you know, so for example, it's like, obviously, COVID was a, you know, it was obviously used. It was a big tool during COVID to get people to behave in the way that was, you know, conducive to the government's plans. But I think now it feels like they seem to tap into what people are scared of and what people are afraid, and they try to, you know, so we're back onto migrants again. Migrants haven't gone anywhere.
Cambridge Analytica.
We've still got, it's not like, you know, migrants weren't trying to migrate over during COVID. This is still a major issue. We've still had boats. So, like, this morning, I woke up, it's breaking news, there's another boat capsized, or there's another issue in the channel, people coming over on a boat, and I don't know what's happened, but it's clearly that boat's got into trouble, and I guess maybe people have died, unfortunately. But that problem's been around. But I think, actually, when I talk to even my grandparents, they are aware of. And this is the thing, like, my granddad was saying the other day, he was like, oh, when I was growing up, I genuinely believed wholeheartedly, because my parents told me the government care about us, the government are here to serve us, and the news is just to inform us on what's going on. He said, but I'm totally aware and have been for a while that that's not the case. The government don't care about you. Politicians are not here to serve you. They're there to serve their own agenda. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying and I do agree with it, but I do think there is a point. I do also see what Bob's saying. I think most people are pretty savvy to all of this and they either don't care carry on anyway, or or they do try to stop. Or they do try to come off of things.
I think more or less people are savvy than you think, though. Or some, or like you say, a lot of people. Okay, so you're saying a lot of people are more savvy now, and they can spot phishing attempts and bots and all this stuff. But then what Tiz is saying is, look how advanced this is. It's going to get to a point where you won't actually be able to tell. And no matter how savvy you are, it's going to trick you, because they are just constantly scraping everyone's methods of communication, how we respond to each other, and responding exactly like a human being would. That is neither here nor there. That is one thing. I don't talk to strangers. I don't talk to strangers on the internet anyway, but I do respond to podcast stuff. It's the only interaction with people I have online. I don't talk to my friends online. I talk to them on WhatsApp or on Signal.
I do think you're right, Tis, though. I think that we're not necessarily the demographic that's at risk. It's probably so the teenagers that I spend it's my job to pastor. That's the word I'm looking for. So the youth that come to our church, you know, it's those guys who are just gripped by social media. And I think it's really, so I took Joel out for lunch to the works a couple of Saturdays ago, and we'd ordered, and you know how on the menus, the kids' menus, they've got like the colouring and like a maze and bits and pieces to do. Right. My cat is at the top of the, you know, you're not going to be able to get down from there, don't you? I'm not going to help you. You're a dick. Anyway. Sorry.
Kids menu, the works.
Yes, sorry. Yeah, so we were in the works. We were waiting for our lunch. And I was watching Joel colour and just kind of like sat there and, you know, talking to him. And I looked up and I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Every single person, apart from me and the wait staff, were on their phones. Everyone.
It's been like that for ages, though.
No, I know it has, but I know you've mentioned it before, but I'm not just talking about like still carrying on a conversation. I mean, no conversation at all.
No.
And total 100% interaction with a phone. And I know you've mentioned it before, Bob, and I know we know about it, but it really shocked me. I sat there for about 30 seconds just watching and just thinking, what is happening? Why don't they realise? Why don't they see it? Why don't they notice? And I suppose because I was kind of sat at the edge of the restaurant, I could see.
Because they want it. They like it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Or it's a drug. It's addictive. And I'm not, as much as I say, oh, I hate it, it does get me every now and then. I find myself reaching for it, scrolling, you know, shit. It's addictive. And it's that way. But what Tiz is saying is they've already got us. We're already all addicted. Mm-hmm. So now they can really twist the knife.
Well, AI is just it's a machine learning to an extremity that you've never experienced. I mean, right now, I could develop an AI and feed Bob's information into it, say. That AI could mimic Bob in every which way. It could mimic the way that he talks. In fact, all the emails, say I scraped through all the emails that Bob had sent through the years to listeners, and I fed that into an AI.
It could answer all the emails for me.
It could.
Yeah.
All of that information would give the AI everything it needed to know about the way that you write, the way that you think, your hopes, your fears, your loves, your hates, from all of the different intricacies. It could mimic you in every different way, and that could be used to steal your identity for criminal purposes, anything. We're just entering a new age of just so much more cyber security risks. And that's just on the cybersecurity side of things. Swaying elections. I mean, elections aren't safe anymore.
Do you not think if it keeps going that way, people will leave the internet? Or do you think it's too far gone for people?
No, I don't think so.
We need to regulate AI. That's what we need to do.
No,
AI needs heavy regulation. We're at the start of...
It'll never happen.
But it needs to happen.
But it won't.
It needs... Well, then we're going to enter a really sorry state of what the world.
Yeah, but when the internet was first invented, we should have said someone needs to regulate this. But then there was people saying, no, freedom of speech. That's what the internet is. It's the worldwide, you know, open ground for discussion. But then in no one regulating it, it turned into this medium of control and medium of, you know, if you Google stuff now, it's not like when you used to Google stuff. It's the same shit that comes up. It's actually hard to find useful information now because it's all sewn up because it was never regulated. But we didn't care. And the way that that was never going to get regulated is the same way that AI is never going to get regulated, because the people who have got the most to gain out of it are the people that are pulling the strings at the top.
It's not so much a discussion of what will happen, though. It's a discussion of what it means and why it's bad. It's like, it is bad. And it's crazy to see where we're at with it.
So what's the alternative then? The alternative is we stop, because...
Well, the alternative is, like Bob said, I don't think there is an alternative. What's the alternative to anything? I think the human race is fucked anyway. But I'm just... it's more like a sort of, like, let's not, like... I don't know how to stop AI, but it's more to show you guys it's here. It's not in the future. It's fucking right now. And the implication of this character AI thing...
I think it has been for a while, mate.
Well, no, this specific type of AI. I mean, it's only going to get more important. And the implications of this character AI is that I genuinely think in the next 5 years we're going to see someone wed to AI. I think in the next three years...
I wouldn't even be surprised if someone's already engaged to an AI, already tried to marry an AI.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think her... You've seen her, right? With Phoenix, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, yeah.
That's playing out right now.
Yes. And that film came out 10 years ago.
You can talk on this character AI to AI. You can have some really deep conversations with these AIs.
Yeah.
And people feel heard. And I think there'll be therapist AI programs. I think...
There already was. That one you sent me on one of the front page ones was like, talk to an AI therapist.
Yeah. That's what I mean. They, like, shit's getting real.
But you
know
what,
the implications are crazy.
You know what, Tis? When it comes to this, I used to get wound up by stuff like this, and I used to be like, we need to do something about this. But it's like when we talked about politics, and you said, I just had to, like, ignore it because you can't make a difference.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm like with this shit now. I've been banging my head against social media and... AI and all this shit for like so many years now that I'm just like, I ain't stopping this. Fuck it. I haven't got to engage in it though. So it can happen over there. And if people really want to spend their lives buried in these things, they can.
Yeah.
I'm just choosing not to. Like, the only reason I still have my Facebook and Twitter accounts is because I post on behalf of the podcast. I haven't posted on behalf of myself for fucking ages.
Hmm.
I don't need it. I've got enough going on in my life that I don't want that to eat away my life. I don't want to look back at my life when I'm old and think, God, how many years did I waste doing apps, just like nothing on my phone? And there's difference. I don't mind sitting around doing nothing, playing video games and watching movies because I'm actively enjoying them. When you're just farting around on the internet, you're not actively enjoying it. You're turning your brain into like a mush state, like a trance-like state. You're not actively enjoying it.
No. Yeah.
And I ain't got time for stuff I'm not actively enjoying anymore.
No. But I guess the fallacy, I think, is that AI will pervade. It's not an internet thing. It's a societal thing. The society is going to change massively. The person who gets elected will matter. And if the internet affects that, whether you're on the internet or not, you are affected.
Yes. But again, it's big things that I can't stop. I can be aware of them, but I can't think about them too much because I'll be too miserable.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
What were you saying, Beef?
I was just going to say, I was reading, if I can find it, I'll link it to you guys later, but I was reading an article the other day. There's just this dad. He was just blogging about, he doesn't just do blogs, but it's, anyway. But he was talking about this and how social media has such a negative impact on his relationship with his kids. And it was, you know, 5 years ago or however many years ago, he just had this like epiphany. And, you know, and iPhones now, they tell you, don't they, how much screen time and how mm-hmm. long you've used each app for. And I think he was just scrolling through some of that information and was shocked really at how his internet. And he thought, hang on a minute. If I've used my phone, if I've been on my phone for 8 hours today, I've also been looking after my children for 8 hours today. What have I missed? You know, what have my kids done that I haven't been aware of and I haven't seen? Not necessarily dangerous thing, just what have they done? What milestones, what things have they done that I'm just missing? And so he researched into this and looked, and it looked, I think in the, this guy's an American, but I would imagine it's probably a similar trend here, because I've certainly, I'm very active on trying to, and I find myself, like you said, Bobby, I find myself picking my phone up. If I pick my phone up, I now think, I try really hard to think, right, why have I picked this up? If it's to answer an email because I'm working, you know, like, so Tuesdays, Thursdays, I work from home with Amber. If it's an email and I'm going to answer it, okay, that's fine. If I'm picking it up and actually I don't, there's no reason, it's just that's habitual, then I'm trying really hard to put it back down again. And I know it's a tiny drop in the ocean, but it's it appears that essentially parents are leaving social media. So people our age are leaving social media for good. They're just, in America, they've had like a big uptick in sales of just like crummy Nokias, just like basically burner phones, which obviously still have the internet because you can't escape the internet. And like Bobby said, it's here now.
But this is, that's the niche though, isn't it? The everyday person is still addicted and loves their phone they want it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But I wonder if that could hopefully, you know, that could be the start of something. It could be that starts, you know.
I feel like young people are starting to use them. The thing is, I'm using my brother as an example. He just moved to Brighton. But I feel like he doesn't use social media very much. He doesn't use the internet that much. It feels more transgressive to be out. All he does is like go out the pub with his mates, hang out at the skate park. You know, he does stuff with people in person. He's not, and I'm like, is that him or is that, you know, a lot of people his age? Is he being transgressive in stepping away from that?
I do honestly believe that that his generation and the generation below him, I guess, so, or just a few years younger, I do believe that they could be the generation that says no to social media, because actually they don't use social media. They don't have, so when I talk to the guys at church, I'm like, so you don't use, like, I assumed they use TikTok or, you know, obviously they're not using Facebook and Twitter or Insta, because that's like for dinosaurs, but they'll use things like Twitter or, TikTok or, like Snapchat. But they're not even really using those anymore. What they're doing is messaging. So they're doing what we would do when we came home from school. They're jumping on, like, essentially MSN, chatting to friends, and then they use it for, like, YouTube. And I thought, well, actually, that's not too different to when we used to jump on MSN, and then I would go and, like, watch DVDs all night or play GTA or something. So I do wonder whether this will be the generation that notices it, because they're clever, they're intelligent, they'll realise this, they'll realise that this is, it's addictive, it's a drug, it's damaging their brains, it's...
And are we going to start just like cherishing our anonymity again a little bit more? When the internet was new, we all wanted to be out there. When MySpace was a thing, we had created our pages that were like a representation of us, and this is my page, and this is what I'm about, and this is what I'm like, and now... More and more, no, I just cherish my anonymity. I don't want the world to know anything about me. says the person who has hundreds of hours of audio talking about himself.
It's different though. It depends on, but we have, it's not, I'm not saying we have control over this as like, but we're choosing to do this and we get something out of it. I think if it's giving you something, then it's not necessarily an issue. I think you're right though. I think people are starting to, like, I really don't get people who, you know, so I've got lots of friends on Facebook, for example, who 90% of their content is about their kids.
Right.
And I'm just like, I don't get it. Why do you need someone that you, for example, someone that you went to school with 15 years ago, why do they need to have, like, I don't need to put on Facebook that, you know, I don't know, I took Joel swimming this evening and he's done this. And it's like, no, I'll tell my parents and I might send them a WhatsApp picture, like, so they can see that he's won a certificate at swimming. But that, like, I just don't get it. I don't understand what, and actually I think it's not, I don't need the world to see hundreds and hundreds of pictures of Amber and what she's done that day.
I think if Twitter and other social medias do start winding down and people start using them less and less, it's going to be a very weird time to look back on and be like, do you remember when we were on that shit forever? But it'll be like when we look back and when we used to be on MSN all the time.
I wonder now that Elon's on Twitter and in charge of Twitter, I wonder if that downward trend will continue. Bobby's internet's gone. Let's just carry on talking because he said his internet will come back. I think me and Bobby are saying the same thing. Like, I feel powerless. It's like a juggernaut. I can't stop this. This is here to stay. And I suppose it's almost like, what can I do about climate change? It feels like a massive juggernaut, but what can I do? I guess I can't stop it. I can't really do an awful lot to change too much, but I can do my bit.
Yeah.
But maybe it feel, and even if it isn't doing anything, if I'm cutting down on my social media use or I'm stopping using social media, that feels like something rather than totally buying into the whole thing. I don't know.
And the thing is, you have to actively reject it, because I tried to stop myself using social media more. So I found that when it was on the front page of my phone, like, say, Twitter, for example, I would open my phone and my thumb would instinctively touch the Twitter button. And then before I knew it, I'm scrolling. Right. So then when I started realizing that's what I'm doing, I pick up my phone. And then before I realize that I've sat on this for 20 minutes and I just lost 20 minutes of my life, I don't even know what I was looking at. I still need it on my phone because I use it for other stuff. So I get my news from it and stuff, but it gets to the point where that's not good enough. I don't want it, but I would bury it in folders on my phone so that if I needed, I'd have to open my phone, swipe two screens to the right, go into the folder, go into another folder, and there's the Twitter icon. So I have to actively go through all those steps, which stops me. But after a while, my thumb was instinctively doing the swipe right, tap that folder open, instead of where it was just... Because it's just the habit. It's the habit. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's just... You just got to reject it because you can't... Your brains... You haven't got the willpower against these things that are made to trap you, to addict you. You don't have it. I know you think you do, but you don't.
Yeah.
And the only way to just not do it is actively to reject it.
Yeah. But AI means that the implication is that your phone could learn you even better than they already know you. And that could make using these products even harder than it already is.
Yeah.
That's the implication. Things are only going to get harder to reject. These things are going to get a lot harder to reject.
Will AI work on my old phone?
AI isn't like a operating system. It's a machine learning situation.
Yeah, I know, but these new apps that are going to be improved to trap me, because
it's not about having it on your phone. It's the fact that it exists on the internet at all and works for these companies. It's like having a super intelligent or infinite super intelligences working for a company to further their interests, which are directly opposed to the interests of you and everyone using the service. It's forwarding the advancement of advertising is where it's going to really peak. And also, like, swaying elections. If you think elections were fucked before, like, just wait. Wait for elections come the next UK election and just...
But how can elections be more fucked?
Well, it's just...
Because they're never what I want anyway.
Yeah, but it's a ramping up of that to an nth degree. It gets a lot harder for people to escape these echo chambers, like Cambridge Analytica on steroids.
But I've come around on the idea of echo chambers. I think echo chambers are good now. I preferred my world when it was an echo chamber. I used to go on Twitter and it would just be things I liked. Oh, it's just, oh, it's about video games and stuff. Cool, things I like, a little escape. Now, it's you can't have an echo chamber anymore. My Twitter, all it is things I don't want to see about. There's only so many words I can mute. I used to just go on there to find out about things I liked. And then I was like, well, that's an echo chamber.
I guess it's the implication of elections, isn't it? It's like, it might be nice to like have a good mental health day and like not have an echo chamber, but I'm talking about like not just like personal, like I prefer this, the implications of that on the society and what that is doing to democracy and what that's doing to politics and discourse and connecting with each other. What that's doing is getting us further and further from an actual salvation, really.
I just don't think people care. They don't care who governs us anymore.
That's where the brainwashing has really become dangerous.
And that's what I mean. People aren't savvy, because people don't care anymore.
No, they are savvy, but they don't care, mate. They don't care because it doesn't change much. And actually, what's going to happen? I need you to understand. I am not Tory at all. I'm not going to vote Tory. But my point about the political system is that it doesn't matter who I vote for here, because the Tory will get the Aylesbury seat. That will happen.
Yeah, that's
no matter
true.
Who I vote for. It doesn't matter who I vote for. Out of all of the, since I was 18, I haven't got what I voted for. So it makes people apathetic. It's nothing to do with brainwashing even. You just cannot get who you vote for. And that has been in place for decades. That's just the way our voting system works. That's the problem. It's nothing to do with advertising or marketing or cool slogans or anything they do on TV or anything that bots or AI pick up from our phones. It is the system, which is why Labour keep talking about it and it will never happen because it will fuck the Tories over, is to do what the Americans do, the first past the post, the complete opposite. But it's the system that and actually it gets to the point where I think there's no point me going to vote because I know that Rob Butler is going to keep his seat. I know he will, and actually no amount of tactical voting is going to change that, because Aylesbury is a Tory area, because it's actually a relatively wealthy town. And who do wealthy people vote for? The Tories, because they scratch their backs and they keep their taxes low. So
But I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about like society.
It's all well and good saying that AI is going to get worse, but it's already worse. It's never been good. I've never got what I wanted in terms of
politics. I feel like
and
you
stuff.
Guys are looking at it very much from your own point of view rather than societally.
Well, that's the only point of view I have.
Yeah, but you can put yourself in other people's shoes, right?
I do. I spend my whole life thinking about other people, but other people don't seem to care.
No, they don't.
They don't care. And I don't think they're savvy, and I don't think they care. I think it's both. Most people I say, you know, this is, if you say to someone, you know, your phone's brainwashed, they go, oh no, I don't care. I don't really care. Well, if you talk about someone about politics, oh, I don't really care. No one cares. We've all got ourselves in this sort of mindless fugue state as a nation. And no one cares. And the only people that do care are the people, like you're saying, the marginalized, because they're the people who are affected by things. But there's not, I sort of lost my train of thought. Like the masses don't care and you can't fight it. So you just have to sometimes go, oh, fuck this, and worry about yourself. And since I stopped worrying so much about things I can't control, I'm worried about myself only. As selfish as that sounds, and my empathy goes into my everyday interactions with people, that's where my empathy is better spent. If I waste my empathy on things I can't change, all I do is bring myself down because I'm like, this is awful. I'm seeing injustices. I'm seeing this. And I can't do anything about it. But if I'm nice to the man on the street, if I give a homeless guy a fiver when I've got one in my pocket, if I'm friendly to someone in general as I do about my work day, that's the empathy that does affect me. And when I have a one-on-one connection with someone through empathy, that's when I feel better about the world because I got feedback and I felt good. That's where my empathy is better spent.
But you have to, I think also, you have to find humanity in small pieces in your life, in your own life. So
the internet's made everything too big. We can't think small.
We have to think more locally, I think, otherwise we're gonna go crazy. And I think
it's driving us crazy.
So for example, before 2019, so like when it was the 2019 election, now obviously in our church we probably do have quite a lot of Tory voters in our church because we're an affluent area. We've got some wealthy people in our church. Not a wealthy church, that's not what I'm saying, but we've definitely got Tory supporters.
It's just the area you're in,
yeah, exactly. Now because of the food bank and because of everything we do with Storehouse, it was interesting the amount of people who I spoke to in 2019 who I know are Tory supporters but didn't vote for Boris, because they can see the austerity in our area. And it was interesting having those conversations with people who then essentially became politically homeless because that was what they did. They just voted Tory. That's what they did for decades, just voting Tory because that's what they do. And so the amount of change in opinion that I've seen, I suppose, over the last few years, especially since obviously with COVID, we had an enormous amount of uptick in clients coming through the food bank during COVID and lots of food parcels going out. And actually that's what's kind of given me faith. Not necessarily in on the wider scale, not on the bigger picture, but it's about seeing those small changes in opinion and just watching people slowly kind of get it and get what's going on. And I think I think you're right. Maybe it is just the case that people don't care, but I think I don't know.
You can't change the world's opinion by shouting about stuff on social media and getting angry about a cause. They won't listen to you. It's like we've said a million times about it's the vegan on the bin situation. No one's going to listen to someone standing on a bin shouting at the world.
Yeah.
That's why it has to start smaller. And if you're out and about, or even with family members, we've talked about, like, if you hear a family member saying some racist shit, just tell them off. Just say, look, come on, man, like, it's not on. One-on-one from listening to a family member and explaining the cause of why it isn't on, and without that, will have more of an effect.
I think so. And I think
and then you're changing one viewpoint, which is feasible. If I can change one viewpoint, fantastic. I can't change the world's viewpoint, but if I can change one.
And it's interesting that, the people I've spoken to who I know voted for Brexit because they've told me they voted for Brexit, and some of them people in our church, they 2016, 2017, it was too difficult and I didn't want to hear anyone.
Jesus, talk. it was so long ago.
But actually, in the years since then, I'm like, I need to listen to why people actually voted for this, because I need to understand from their perspective why was this a good idea. Having listened to people's stories, I might still not understand it, but it's interesting again that quite a few of them are like, I wish I'd I didn't know what I was doing, and I guess I believed lies, and I guess I was brainwashed, and you know, they mentioned things like the bus and all the other stuff. I suppose, the other way of looking at it is, you know, when you see all of those seats that used to be safe Labour seats in 2019, then turned to Tory seats, you know, why does stuff like that happen? Sometimes it's just because people want to change, because they haven't seen change in their area. And so they think, I'll just try the alternative because I'm not seeing the change I want. I don't know. But I think, yeah, like you said, Bob, I think it's trying to narrow our world. And social media is fantastic at widening our horizon.
The human brain wasn't ready for, like, the knowledge of the entire world. It wasn't ready for hearing about someone's problems thousands of miles away, and it's broken us a little bit. And when you feel like you're a good person, you're trying to do good, and you can't fix something that's happening over in Mexico, then you feel helpless. But you can, yeah. Mm. I mean, we're running around in circles now. Tis, what have you done? What have you done to us?
I think we veered off into some.
I mean,
sort
we totally
of
veered off
territory that I can't follow you. I don't know what we're talking about now. Fuck knows.
I am agreeing with you.
This is an episode of two halves.
This is the implications of AI on elections. Not so much that no one cares about elections.
AI? Did you start this? I feel sorry for listeners because the tonal whiplash of this episode.
It's just veered off, hasn't it? It's just gone off road. And,
I'm either going to have to come in with a warning and be like, the episode does a 180 degree turn here, or release it as two-parter and be like, you can skip part two if you like.
Yeah.
I think it's good. Maybe. I think this is the kind of stuff people like listening to. Like, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, but not in the same episode where we're talking about doing drugs in Bristol. It's two very different flavours that two different types of listeners enjoy. So what is this episode? Because it's not fucking weird news.
No, I think we've now just made it an AI episode, haven't we?
But that AI, I don't know what it... It's 40, it's 50 minutes at the start of us talking bollocks. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to call it.
It is... It's
weird ramblings.
I'm going to call it Guff and AI.
Guff cool. and AI. And yeah, I don't know. We've talked about... We've covered
this
a lot of
topics. This is our Christmas episode.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks, Tis.
Fucking humbug Scrooge up there in the corner.
Merry Tismas.
Merry Tismas, yeah.
All right. I mean, we should probably call it that. It's getting late.
Yeah, I need
Merry
to go to bed. I'm too mentally drained for this.
Tis just like dropped a fucking bomb and is going to scarf her.
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
I won't even send you a picture of the weird crocodile fish I was going to talk about.
No, I had so many stupid weird news stories. Weird news has been postponed. We'll be back with weird news next year.
Yeah. Amazing.
Listeners, have a lovely Christmas. I hope this hasn't been too much of a downer on you. We're just trying to squeak this one out. It's been a bit of a year for Weird Tales and releases this year. We know they haven't been the most regular. But we've got plans for the start of next year. We've got plans to get some good episodes out. I already know what I'm doing for my next one. So, you know, give us a little bit of time. Me and Rick are going to record something in January to start the year off anyway. And then we'll come back with weird news, an actual weird news, and we'll come back and I'll carry on my UFO alien abductees episodes that people keep asking about. We've got stuff ready to go. So don't worry. We're not going anywhere for the time being. And... So, yeah, love you lots. I can't even bother to do all the plugs. You know where the stuff is. You know how much we love social media, so contact us on there. Bye. Love you lots.
See you later. Cheers.
Your emails will be answered by an AI version of Bob from here on out.
Wow.
Bye.
Bye.
What the fuck was that episode? This happened to us once before. Do you remember when we went on like a 45-minute rant about Kanye West? It was like 4 years ago, and we were like, I don't know what that episode was. I can't even remember what we called it.
Rubs. Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.